We're looking at the third lesson this morning in the series of Survey of the Life of Christ. We'll get to that in just a moment. You don't necessarily have to get it out if you have it with you, but this sheet that we looks like this, if you can see anything about it, is the life of Christ. It's a timeline, and we have looked at the childhood of Jesus. That's at the top of this sheet. The birth of Jesus, the visit of the shepherds, the presentation of the temple, the visit by the Magi, and the escape to Egypt, and the return to Nazareth. That's called the childhood, the top of this sheet. We're now in what is called the year of inauguration. This first column down from the last one, where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, A.D. 26. And we've got the parallel scriptures over there on the right side of the whiteboard. This is lesson four over here on the left side. I just changed it from lesson two to four because that'll be our next lesson. But Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3 through 4 is the lesson three. Anyway, on this sheet, we have the year of inauguration. Jesus is tempted by Satan and Jesus' first miracle, which we'll not get to even in lesson four. But anyhow, we are about in the study where John is baptizing in the wilderness, and Jesus comes out and he's baptized by John. On that third sheet, if you have in front of you, I want to read what it says here about Jesus' baptism and temptation. And I want to take a few minutes to read that. If you do have it with you, that's good if you want to follow along. And I want to show you, if it'll show up on the PowerPoint, some of the places where this action takes place. But we're reading at the top of the page is number page 183, whatever that might mean. But it's on those sheets that the front of it was the life of Christ. The second page is continuation of the life of Christ, and then this third page is. At the top is journey to Bethlehem, fly to Egypt, return to Nazareth. That's we've looked at before. And then down here, Jesus' baptism and temptation. That's where we are today in lesson three, the baptism particularly. And I want to read this, and then I'll show you something in just a moment. Events, it says, surrounding Jesus' baptism reveals the intense religious excitement and social ferment of the early days of John the Baptist ministry. Herod had been rapacious and extravagant. Roman military occupation was harsh. Some agitation centered around the change of procurators from Gratus to Pilate in 26 AD. Most of the people hoped for a religious solution to their low political fortunes. When they heard of a new prophet, they flocked out into the desert to hear him. The new prophet that's talking about there, of course, is John the Immerser. And it mentions 26. This is about the year that Jesus was baptized by John, 26 A.D., A.D. 26. When was Jesus born? Around 4, 5, or 6 B.C., there's a mistake in our calendar, and that's why you think, well, Jesus is born in zero, but after Christ and before Christ. No. Anyhow, that's why here it's maybe Jesus, usually we think, well, Jesus began his public ministry, as it were, when he's about 30 years old. Well, here, A.D. 26 is about when he went out to be baptized with John. Well, 26 is not 30 years old, it would back up to AD BC, 4 BC. Anyway, it says here that Pilate in AD 26 took over after Gratus. So Pilate is going to be the procurator in Caesarea the whole time that Jesus is going to be preaching and teaching until the time, of course, he was before Pilate. as the people brought Jesus to be crucified. So, do you think that Pilate may be completely unfamiliar with anything that's going on with the Jews? And of course, we have no way of knowing except what did Pilate's wife say? She didn't really indicate that, oh, we've heard about this guy, you got to take it. But anyway, she had a dream, you remember. Okay, they went out to the desert to hear this new prophet. The religious sect, the Essenes, from Qumran, professed similar doctrines to repentance and baptism. Now, let's see if I can get this to come up here. I don't know, maybe they have to dim the lights, but if you can see this, there's water over here on the right. This is the north end of the Dead Sea. And if you're standing looking at the Dead Sea like we are here, the community of Qumran is right behind you. And if you see this map that's down here, if you have this sheet, you see right at the northwest end of the Dead Sea is this community of the Essenes that had, what does it say here, professed similar doctrines of repentance and baptism. And so this is the community, Dead Sea now. We've turned around and looked at the community. Dead Sea actually at the top left up there. You can see a little bit of the water there. But this is what is left of that community as far as ruins are concerned. And so we're looking south down the Dead Sea. And this community here, and I've only shown this part here. I think I've got one more. There's some of the houses, the buildings that are in ruins. And I didn't find the slide of the baptistry that they have there. I don't know if I even took it. But anyway, there is a pool. There is a place where they had water there. Now, some of it was the ritual washings that they would do, but also there was a pool large enough to immerse people in. Now, if you were that guy standing there and you look to the right as we're looking at it, then he would see these hills here. That's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, in those caves. You can see 1, 2, 3, 4 maybe there. And that's where the Dead Sea Scrolls, if you're familiar with that, just to give you a little bit of here. The Dead Sea Scrolls, and they're still reading them, but they're quite important so far as almost all of of what we call the Book of Isaiah was found there. And these people predate Jesus. And so a little bit of archaeology there that helps us understand that Isaiah was written at least that far back. Some people say later, but anyhow. So this community at Qumran professed similar doctrines of repentance and baptism. Jesus was baptized at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan River. And John also baptized at Enon near Salem. And on this map that's here on this, it shows where Bethany is with a question mark. We're not really sure. Baptized on the other side of the Jordan River. And Enon near Salem is up toward the north, toward the Sea of Galilee. So that's where John was baptizing. Where Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the exact spot, nobody knows. And I don't have a slide of the Jordan River down there near Salem, but this is looking into the Sea of Galilee. This is the Jordan River, as if you were standing in it, looking north, northeast into the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. This is another view of the river. And this is one place, if you can see that pipe coming out on the left there, where the Israelis pump water out of the Jordan River for irrigation, and they pump so much that by the time it gets down to the Dead Sea, it's just a trickle almost. Depends on how much rain they've had. But as it flows on down the Dead Sea, then it picks up sediment, et cetera, salt in the water, and that's just one reason the Dead Sea is so salty, is because there are several rivers that flow into it. Most of them are dry during the year, flow into the Jordan River and then into the Dead Sea. But anyhow, that's a viewpoint of the Dead Sea, or one viewpoint anyway. Then the next paragraph on this sheet says the temptation took place. Now, we'll get to the temptation of Jesus. We'll have to look at his baptism first, but while we're here. The temptation of Jesus, number one, was in the desert region of the lower Jordan Valley. Now, this is going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Actually, we're looking back toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem be on the far hillside over there. You can see it. But doesn't look too desolate there. But it looks a little more desolate there. I noticed this morning on that calendar back there, if you want to look at it on your way out, is a picture of Death Valley. And Death Valley is one of the lowest places in the United States. And that, if you just look at it, it looks like that here too. The Dead Sea is one of the lowest spots in the world. We're already below sea level. But anyhow, if you can picture in your mind Jesus going out to the Judean wilderness and being tempted, that's what it would look like. We don't know where, but that's what it would look like around the Judean desert. Looking at this again, the temptation took place in the desert region of the lower Jordan Valley. Number two, and also his temptation on a high mountain, possibly one of the abrupt cliffs near Jericho that present an unsurpassed panorama. Again, we don't know where that high mountain is. Some think that it was up in Mount Hermon area. But if he was in the wilderness here being tempted, most say that he was somewhere in the area of Jericho. Now this, if you're looking at this, you're looking west, Jericho is behind you, just about 100 yards, the city of Jericho. So it could have been when Jesus was taken, as it were, and where there's literal, well, we can argue about that, but when he's taken onto a high mountain and Satan tempted Jesus, it could have been there, this mountain of Jericho. But there's another mountain, Jericho to our back. You go to, you look to your right, and there's another mountain there, right in the center of that picture. And, I mean, the old city of Jericho, you're standing here, looking here, it's behind you. So it's that close to the old city of Jericho. So you could see that. And if you were standing on either one of these, whether it was this one or this one, you could see over into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was high enough that when you look from these mountains, you could see it over there. Now, you're not going to see all of it, but you could see the mountain, the hill or mountain, if you want to call it that, where Jerusalem was. But then this third thing that mentions, Jesus was taken by Satan to the pinnacle of the temple, from which the priest sounded the trumpet to call the city's attention to important events. So it went up to the pinnacle of the temple. Now, there's two places that the pinnacle of the temple possibly were. And this is a viewpoint of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. So you're standing on the Mount of Olives, kind of to your back, but you're up high enough, and you're looking west toward the temple area. And the temple of Herod would be out of the picture here to the right. I didn't take a picture of that mosque that's there. This is the Al-Aqsa Mosque that the Muslims have there. But if you see, I don't know if you can see that red dot, this is the temple wall. Herod built some of it down here, but you can't see his stones in this picture. But it was built up, and here you come here, and here's a 90-degree. That's a corner. That's one place where people think that's where the pinnacle of the temple was. If you go on past this and past this building here, there's another that you can't see in this that's exactly like this. It takes a 90-degree turn to the right. Most people think the priest blew the trumpets from this place back here. But this is a good illustration of a pinnacle of the temple, if it's where it was. In the next view, you're going to be standing right here, right there at that corner, looking down into the Kidron Valley. I want to see if you want to jump off of it. This is difficult because here's the square there, that 90-degree angle. The camera has made it blurred, but this is the valley, and so maybe you can see a little bit of perspective there. I mean, if you jump there, you're dead when you hit the ground. So, anyhow, any question about that? Yes, Patrick. Well, you're already below sea level, but from the, we're going to go back there. I don't know if it's going to go. Yeah. From the ground level here, like I say, you're already below sea level, but from the ground level, I'd say that's 2,000 or 3,000 feet. That's just an estimate I'm not good at. But it's high enough that if that's where Jesus was tempted, and we have no certainty of it, it's high enough that you can see all around. You can see back to the Dead Sea over here. As I said, you can see Jerusalem and probably even see up to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon can be seen a long way off if you're high enough but not obstructed by anything. Yes? What's that? Well, that's a good question, and I don't have an answer for you, but Mo does. Go ahead. Yeah, there is. I don't know what you'd call it, speculation that Jesus had. I don't know if you call it a relationship with the Essenes, and whether John the Baptist did. I'm fuzzy on that history, and I just don't remember. John, it's possible, yeah. But, Ted. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's an interesting thought. Mount Everest is 29,000 whatever it is, the highest mountain on land. So it's Ted points out there's a, where is that? I've forgotten.
It's in the Himalayas. I don't know which you call
it. Okay, but there's also
K2 is the name of the
mountain. Yeah, K2. There's another mountain though that's taller than either one of those if you measure it from the foot, the base of the mountains to the top, and that's some mountain in the ocean that. 39 or whatever. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Anyway, in Palestine, in this area here, the mountains aren't that high. I mean, we think 14,000 for Rainier, 10,000 something Mount Baker. The highest mountain in the Palestine Israeli area is Mount Hermon, but it's only 9,000 something feet. So, but from the standpoint, if you're talking about when you're below sea level at Jericho, and you go up to Mount Hermon, and the Dead Sea is, let me see if I get 900 and the figure that comes to my mind, 920 feet below sea level. So you had another 1,000 feet to the Dead Sea, and so up to Mount Hermon's quite a ways. Get the lights, please, Kramer. Okay, anything else? I thought it just might be interesting to see a little bit of the territory, Mary, and then Patrick. Right. Yeah. Yeah, kids can retain a whole lot more sometimes than we think they can, and that's what Mary's talking about. Particularly if a child is really fascinated by those things, and some of us are, some of us aren't. Patrick?
Well, I did bring up the motivation out of curiosity, and the mountains that are in the fall that we have. But Mount Constitution on Orchid, if you go up there, that gives you a general idea.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And I never thought about Mount Constitution on Orcas, Patrick points out. What is it, 1,000-something? 2,000-something? I never have heard how deep the water is there around Orcas Island. When you think about that. Of course, Mount Constitution is not right on the water. It is pretty close, of course. But how far from the top of Mount Constitution to the bottom of the sea there would be an interesting thought. Okay, anything else? I think that's all that I had on that. And so, let's go, if you have lesson number 3, that's where we want to pick up, and we have a few copies left here. I don't know how many. Maybe I got 2. So if you're wanting one of these, Lysander and Paul are going to beat you to these two. Anybody else? Baptism of Jesus. Supposedly the aim of this lesson, number 3, did I say 2? I'm looking at lesson 3. Learn the facts associated with the baptism of Jesus and develop an understanding about why Jesus was baptized. I'm not going to look at the rest of that, but we might mention it and why you should be. That's not a purpose of this study, but if we want to look at some of that, we can. We're looking at the life of Christ. In the readings there, as I have up here, lesson 3, Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3 and 4. We will turn to some of those verses in Matthew. Question for review. I usually go through this rather quickly. If I read the question, you know the answer, speak it out just, you know, right quick. And there might be one or two that we will spend a little bit of time on. But now, John has been preaching in the wilderness, and people coming out to be baptized to him. Now Jesus, being about 30 years old, is going to go out as well. We looked at the first two questions here in lesson 2, but I want to look at them again. And Brian and I were talking about it last week, and he said, yeah, we need to look at that again. And well, he's not here to put in his 2 cents worth, but we'll see what we say. What is the purpose of John's baptism? We studied it last week in lesson 2. The purpose of John's baptism, Mo? For the remission of sins. Repentance under the remission of sins. And I'll read number 2 and get both of them together. What did those baptized by John confess? Go ahead. They confessed their sins. I didn't think anybody could have remission of sins except after Jesus died on the cross. No? Did they have remission? This is Old Testament times. Remission of sins? They had remission of sins in the Old Testament covenant times. And that's what John's baptism was for here. This was a unique. He, of course, as we pointed out in our second lesson, as we'll see too, that John is out there preparing the road, the way, for the coming of the Messiah. And he's comparing the people are the people that are being prepared. But it's the baptism of repentance unto remission of sin. So that's what the people came out. Now, not everybody who came out there was baptized, but John, we'll see. But was there another hand that I missed? Okay, everybody understand that? Any questions? What was number three necessary before John's baptism? We've answered that, haven't we? Change of mind. What did the Jews as a whole, the remnant that came back from Babylon, what did they need to change their mind about? Who God is. What did John, by number four, say when Jesus came to be baptized of him? Jesus comes out, John baptized me, John immersed me. And John said, yeah, I have need of being immersed by you. Why would you come out? How could John say something like that? He knew who he was, right? Well, he at least knew that he was to prepare the way for him. Why did Jesus desire to be baptized? Maybe not so. To fulfill all righteousness, Ward said. Ted? That's the question. Ted's bringing up the point, and I don't argue with it, but I don't think that's the reason he was baptized, just to an example to us. Kelly? Okay, Kelly's bringing up Hebrews, where though he were a son, yet learned he obedience, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Kramer. Identify, I missed one word.
To identify him as the Messiah.
Okay. Okay. Mo?
I agree with what Pastor said, because after he was baptized, heaven goes into the place of heaven, so he's not the other time. And then I'm going to see him. So I think that was, he did it, he announced his will. But he's not. And that's
the time. Okay, and Mo's answered the next three questions, but we'll come back to him before, after we get Ward. Come back to all three of these comments.
Yeah, I was going to say that we can be assured that God's eternal purpose was to save people in Christ. This is a part of his plan to develop that purpose, and we don't have to know exactly what to do with it.
Yeah, we may not, it's a good point, we may not understand fully what it means to fulfill all righteousness, but a part of it, God, as Ward has pointed out, has had his plan in his mind from eternity, Paul says in Ephesians. And this is fulfilling God's plan to come and be this Messiah and show to the world who he is. And this act of being immersed in water, and I may not get the connection, is a part of fulfilling all of that plan to bring about who Jesus is and so on. As Ted said, to give us an example, if that's what you think, and I'm not going to argue with Ted or anybody else, but I don't think that's what it was. We have other scriptures to show what whether or not we should be baptized or immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Mary? Well, they couldn't say it nor whether he was baptized or not, but because he didn't have any sin. But, yes. While we're here on this, and Mo has answered this next question, what did John say when Jesus came to be baptized? Oh, we already looked at that. Number five, why did Jesus desire to be baptized, fulfill all righteousness? Number six, after Jesus was baptized, what appeared from heaven? Okay, the Spirit descended and the form of a dove, or as a dove, like us unto a dove. Who besides, ooh, let's see. Number seven, what happened suddenly after his appearance, this appearance of the Holy Spirit? Voice out of heaven. Just a voice? Or did it say something? This is my beloved Son. Did he say, in whom I'm well pleased? Okay, he said it, hear ye him. Okay, there's another one. He said it again in Matthew 14, is it, where Peter, James, and John went up into the mountain and Jesus transfigured, said the same thing again. Who besides Jesus came to John but were not baptized?
Pharisees.
Sadducees. If I'd said those vipers, would you say I was correct? Okay, we talked about the vipers last week. What does the Bible say those baptized of John did? That's what John told them to, but the ones who were baptized with John, and by the way, I'm not sure if this is a typo here. It gives us a Luke 7, verse 28. I think verse 29 is probably what he's looking for. Luke 7, verse 28 is a passage that, if I'm reading this right, is it baptized? Okay. It's a passage that is given here in our sheet. Verse 28, Jesus is speaking here, and I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 29, I think maybe it was the verse here. And when all the people and the tax gatherers heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. That's this version I'm reading from. Another version says they declared God to be just. How can you declare God to be just? We're going to have to stop on this question. This version says acknowledge God's justice. That's probably a better way of understanding. Is this a correct understanding that when these people were baptized, they declared God just, or they acknowledged God's justice, that if they were not baptized, God had justice to bring their sins upon their own head? So when they did this, they're declaring God's just. And in commanding us by John the Immerser to be baptized, we're showing that that is the case. Patrick.
If you drop down to verse 35, if wisdom is justified by all of our children,
okay. Patrick points out verse 35 in that same chapter of Luke 7. So appreciate your interest and your comments. We're going to stop right there. Let's see. That's question 10. No? Yes. Yeah, question 10 is where we'll start next week and see if we can get some more knowledge here about the baptism of Jesus. And I suppose I should give you lesson 4 so that you be working on that since you've had lesson 3 for a couple of weeks. So before we all scatter out of the class right now, let me give you lesson four. And you can be working on it for next week possibly. And if we're not next week, then you'll have it for the 2 weeks from now. So take one and pass it back around. I thank you. I think you can do that. Lesson four, as I said up here, the parallel scriptures, Matthew 4, Mark 1, and Luke 4. Yes?
Isn't there in scripture, you know, Moses is a forerunner type of
king? Uh-huh.
And I saw somewhere in scripture talks about when they went through the Red Sea in Israel.
Uh-huh.
That
yes, Paul said that in Corinthians. Let's see, that's about... Okay, it's on the left page. Down here, the second... 1 Corinthians 10, yes, they were all baptized in the sea and under the cloud. That's right. Baptism is immersion, and the people in the Red Sea were immersed as they were fleeing from Pharaoh. All right. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Thank you.